Well, good morning again.
Morning.
Good to see everybody out. I hope that you brought your Bible. I hope that you follow along. And I hope that this day is the start of something really special for this congregation. This congregation began to exist 20 years ago. It has never had elders in it. We've been through at least three attempts at ordaining elders. And at least one of those attempts led to a terrible split where we lost a third of our membership. In the fall of 2019, three different people in this congregation brought it up that they think we have elders in this group even then. The men decided in November of 2019 to initiate a process that culminates today with selection. This is the ninth sermon on this subject this year. We are a people prepared. God did not put 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 in the Bible to keep us from having elders. God put those things in the Bible so that we would have elders. If you have your Bible, please turn to Titus chapter 1. I assume most of you know the title for the lesson comes from Titus chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 4 and see what Paul tells this young man that is a preacher, this young man that helped spread the gospel, what his job was in those churches that he was with. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 of Titus chapter 1. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent, or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a man inspired by God, said that a church without elders is not in order. It's not complete. It's not all that God wants it to be. And that is if you get nothing else from this lesson, understand that God looks down on the congregation at North 2nd Street and says to himself, why don't they have elders? We talk quite a bit about a lot of things, but we get very specific in the scriptures and we say, the Bible says exactly this. And we all read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls on me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And we sit there and we say, if you don't listen to every word of the Bible and do it, you're out of sorts with God, and we're right to do it. This verse is also in the Bible. Congregations should seek and strive to have men as elders. We are striving toward that goal. Today is January the 10th, 2021. In your mailboxes are sheets of paper. Every member of this congregation has one in their mailbox. From this day until January 31st, you have that time to write on those sheets of paper the names that you feel are men who are shepherds in this congregation. Men who bear the qualities of overseers. Men that you think take this church seriously. Men that you trust to handle the affairs of the work of the Lord at North 2nd Street. There's a box with a slot in it, provided in the mailroom. Karen Pitts has a key to one lot, Brenda Lehue has a key to the other. On January the 31st, that box will be opened, and names will be counted. If two or more men receive 55% of names on sheets for the ballots that are turned in, then we will move ahead with the appointment process. But this is the first big step in putting this congregation in order. Several of us talk to people that are either new in town or visiting this congregation or some that may want to become members here. Do you know what the first question they ask us is? The first question? Does this congregation have elders? And you know what I've been telling them for 20 years? No. Paul said to Titus, I left you on Crete and you had one job. Put those churches in order. To put them in order is to have overseers. May God bless us with overseers. May God bless us with the humility to select them. And God bless us with men who will take this work seriously and its flock seriously. Amen? Amen. Well, the fact that Paul tells us to put things in order is important, but it's even more so important to realize that what we are talking about is God's church. The reason all this matters and the reason we should walk humbly about this subject is this is not our church. I mean, it is our congregation. But this church belongs to God. It is God who says what will be preached. It is God who says how we shall worship. And it is God who says how we are to be ordered. We talk a lot about what name congregations should be called by. We refer to ourselves here as the Church of Christ. For those of you who know me, you know I'm a big fan of the way, because that's used by Paul quite a bit. They were familiar with the way. I don't know, the hippie in me likes that. But do you know what, other than simply the word church, do you know what the most used phrase for a name of the church is? It's not Church of Christ. It's Church of God. It is right to say this is Jesus' church. But it is more so to say right to say that it is God's church. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13 reads like this. For if you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. It is God's church, but God has given to Christ, Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven on earth, including authority in the church. Ephesians chapter 1 and 22 says this. And he, that is God, put all things under his, that is Jesus, so I will read it like this. And God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So it was God's to give. He gave it to Christ. And Christ is the head of the church. So if God tells us to do something in his church, we should be humble enough to do it. As we go through this process, as you take your sheets of paper and you think about what names to put down, please do so with seriousness. I have asked all along that we pray about this process. I continue to ask that. I ask that you pray about your personal selection. I ask that you don't look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and try to disqualify men, but try to look at men that have qualities and say, yes, we should have them. Ask yourself this question. You can go to sleep after this. Would our congregation be better with elders? Are there men here who, if we ordain them as elders, our congregation would be better? The answer is clearly yes, and the only people who would say no have not been to a lot of men's business meetings. Men's business meetings are easy to make fun of. I had two different women and one man before this process started come to me and say, there are elders in this church right now. It's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, almost 3 years since some of those comments. I've been the minister here for 12 years, believe it or not. We have elders in this congregation. We have shepherds meeting amongst us. I have not always been able to say that. Part of that has had to do with the men. Frankly, part of it has had to do with the congregation. Because not every man is qualified to be an elder in every congregation, and not every congregation is willing to accept men as elders. I believe the time is right, brothers and sisters, to put it in order. And there is no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit will guide us if we ask Him, and the Holy Spirit will put men in this congregation in the eldership chair that are right and will benefit this church. Turn to the book of Hebrews, if you don't mind. You know what Moses didn't know when he was on the mountain? He didn't know God was showing him heaven. Moses thought, well, God, why is God giving me all these intricate instructions for this tent? And why this box covered with gold? And why this altar? And why this veil? And why all this incense? What is going on here? What Moses did not know was that when God was giving him instructions for the tent of meeting or the tabernacle of the wilderness, what would eventually become Solomon's temple, God was showing Moses how heaven works. It was not up to Moses to decide how heaven works. It's up to God. And God said, you pay attention to what I'm telling you. And you build this thing just the way I'm telling you. God was not doing that willy-nilly. He was showing Moses what heaven was like. Hebrews chapter 8, if you would turn over there. It's a longer section than is on the board. Hebrews chapter 8, I'll read verses 4 and 5. Let me back up to verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, this is in a larger discussion about Jesus is now the high priest of the new covenant. He's a high priest according to Melchizedek. And he's comparing and contrasting between a physical high priest who has to offer sacrifices and Jesus, who offered the sacrifice one time for all time. So here we go. Verse 4. Now, if he were on earth, this is Jesus, so if Jesus were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. That had to do with the fact that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, not of Levi. Verse 5 is what I'm trying to get you to. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, and now listen to this quote, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. God has a pattern for His church. That church is that there be baptized believers, overseen by elders, served by deacons, and taught by evangelists. We talk a lot about, oh, don't give us Roman Catholicism. Don't give us a Southern Baptist Convention. Don't give us a General Council. There are only individual autonomous churches in the New Testament, and we are right. But those individual autonomous churches had elders. And they were out of order until they had elders. And brothers and sisters, we've been 20 years out of order. I know it's a difficult thing. It's real. The sheet is in front of you. I have a doubt. Well, of course we have doubts. We're all human beings. There's no perfect man in this congregation. Ask my wife. Talking about me. She'll clearly tell you I'm not perfect. You're not going to sit there and go, well, Johnny and Ralphie and Joni, and I'm trying to make up names that I don't want to accidentally name somebody here. Those guys are perfect. I have no doubts about them ever. You may have doubts. Every church has doubts. Do you have men you trust? It's really what it's about. Do you trust that if you put their name down, they'll guard the church with their life? They know the truth. They're serious about the truth. They care for God's people. If you can say yes in light of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you can say yes in light of 1 Peter chapter 5 and Acts chapter 20, if you can say yes to those questions, write down the name. When Paul left those apostles in Acts chapter 20, Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said he commended them to God and the word of his grace. There is a point to which we're going to have to write names down and commend it to God. Is there a possibility we will make the wrong choice? Yes. Acts chapter 20 again. Paul said that the Holy Spirit had made those men overseers in their churches, yet from among their own number, those men that the Holy Spirit put in their church, among their own number, men would arise, drawing men after themselves as ravenous wolves. There's a chance it could be a mistake. But I can tell you what there is no doubt about. If this congregation fails to submit itself to the leadership of elders, we're out of order. Acts chapter 26. So God is showing Moses, and in Hebrews chapter 8, this is the way I want you to do this. Do this the way I tell you, because unbeknownst to you, Moses, I'm showing you how heaven works. God is showing us how His relationship with man works in having men that we have to follow. Acts chapter 26. I want to look at two verses that talk about humility. I love this phrase. I won't quote it to you. The honorier younger me would. If you have a King James Version of the Bible, this is an interesting little translation here. But in Acts chapter 26 and verse 14, Paul's on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him and a bright light knocks him down. He can't see. He's blinded. And Jesus speaks directly to the man named Saul that will become the Apostle Paul. And notice what he says to him here. And here's what I want us to ask ourselves today. Are we kicking against the goads? And when he had fallen to the ground, this is verse 14 of Acts 26, when he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad was a long wooden pole with a metal tip on it. And what you did, if you were driving oxen and that oxen started to veer off to the right, you'd poke him with that goad. God is trying to get this church to go in the direction He wants it. What are we doing? Saul was kicking against the goads. He refused to go where God wanted him to go. May it not be so with us. Matthew chapter 20, a series of verses I think we're all familiar with. You know what the apostles loved to argue about more than just about anything? Muhammad Ali. Who's the greatest? They weren't talking about Muhammad Ali or Sonny Liston. They're talking about themselves. Oh, I'm going to sit at the right hand. I'm going to sit at Jesus' right hand. Mama, you go ask him. That literally happened, if you're not familiar with the story of James and John, having their mama go ask Jesus, if one of my sons can sit on your right hand and one of them sit on your left. That happened. They're walking down the road. Jesus is about to be crucified. The apostles are up ahead of Jesus. They're arguing about who's the greatest. John chapter 13, Jesus washes feet to try to show them how they should be. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 25 reads like this. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This verse has two sets of meanings for our situation today. First of all, as a congregation, we must not think of ourselves as someone who cannot serve. We must humble ourselves. We must stop kicking against the goads and we must become the kind of church that God wants. And that involves giving men authority to make decisions I don't make. That's hard. Let me tell you who this is probably going to be harder on than anybody in this group. Me. For 12 years, I've preached what I want to preach. I'm going to have to submit myself to elders. That's okay. Christianity is about submission. Jesus Christ came to save others and to give His life a ransom for many. Elders must take that to heart. They must not lord it over. Not only is it said here, it's in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter there talking in direct reference to men who are elders, not lording it over. And those elders must be servants. Don't put down the name of a man who wants to be served. Do not do it. Do not put down the name of a man who won't wash your feet. Don't put down the name of a man who won't go with you when somebody's hungry or when they're tired or when they're grieved. Don't do it. That's the wrong person. You want someone who serves. You want someone who smells like sheep. You want someone who's not afraid to pick the cockle burrs out of their wool. He's not afraid to get those old big old dog ticks plucked off of them. That takes humility to serve like that. It takes humility for a congregation to submit. Our final verse, and yes, believe it or not, this is my real final verse. John chapter 10. I intended for this lesson to be short, and I'll tell you why. I preached for 9 lessons on this subject in the last year. If you're not ready now, I didn't do my job the first time. We're ready. We're ready. We have to be willing to submit. We have to pray for wisdom. And we have to make a wise selection. Let's make sure God is in that. Let's humble ourselves before His Word. Let's humble Himself before His stated order for His church. Before we read John chapter 10, let me go to God in prayer, please. Would you go with me? Our God, our Father, the great I Am, Creator of this world, Lover of our souls, Giver of Your Son, the One who spoke this universe into existence, Lord, we praise Your name. We thank You for thinking of us. Lord, we thank You for giving us this church. We thank You for the men and women who have served here over these years. We thank You for the dear friends and the blessing that the different Christians have been as we've journeyed through this space and time. Lord, we thank You for bringing us to this moment. Lord, will we prepared our hearts and You prepared for us men. Help us to make wise decisions, Lord. Please guide our hands. Help us, Lord, as we hopefully make decisions that reflect Your will and that we set ourselves in order. Please humble us. Help us to do Your will. Lord, we beg that You forgive us. We beg that You remove pride from our heart. We thank You so much for Jesus and His blood. We thank You for Your Spirit that fills us with strength. We pray in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 10. First lesson I did in this series was from John chapter 10. I'll end it with this. Verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Are there men here who know your name? Are there men here who, if they lead, you will follow? Do they know your name? Will you hear their voice? Choose wisely. If you're not a Christian, Christianity is all about humility and submission. It's about saying to God, not my will, but yours be done. It's about coming and saying, yes, God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he lived and walked in a town called Nazareth, that he died on a cross on Golgotha, that he died and was in the ground, and after 3 days you raised him by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that dwells in me, the same Holy Spirit that dwells in every baptized believer, the same Holy Spirit who will raise up my body if I die before the Lord comes. And I want to go to heaven. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be able to stand before you, O righteous and pure God, and not be destroyed because of the cleansing blood of Jesus. If you believe those things, you can become cleansed today in baptism and become a Christian and walk, a member of this church, hopefully a church put in order. If you're in need of prayer, if you're a sheep that's wandered from the way, or if you just need the care of the congregation, if we can help you either in initial obedience or in asking for prayer or repentance, please come forward as we stand and we sing.